This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
How many soccer games in a row have we turned on where they've scored a goal, like, immediately?
While the Open is playing. And the game has just kicked off at 3 o'clock.
It happened yesterday with PSG. And here with, as you call it, Inter.
Inter, yes. That's what the cool kids call them.
Inter.
Yeah.
What kind of name is that?
I don't know, man.
It's short for...
International.
International is only.
Okay.
Milan
is where they're based.
Yes. Let's just go with that. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting couple of days. Had a stretch just after 5 yesterday where we had back-to-back callers who were both, like, brilliant about the Bills bean stuff. One from the standpoint of this is why he's right. This is why everybody should shut up. The other from... Actually, this is why the wide receiver point is right and why everybody should speak up. But they both did bring up Kevin Adams. Like, it's funny. Imagine, like, two politicians, like two of the most loudmouth, openly dishonest politicians. I know that covers a lot of people. But, like, one is like, oh, tariffs, immigration, economy, foreign relations, all these different things. And the next person comes up and, like, oh, that's wrong, obviously wrong, lying. But we both agree Caddyshack 2 was terrible. We both can at least agree. There's a thing we
common
can both.
Ground.
Common
ground.
The common ground is at least make it about the Sabres, you guys.
Right.
14 years. You know, fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
No matter how you feel about Brandon Bean and the Bills, at least, you know, we can all agree that the Sabres is just incredible, their ineptitude. I think, you know, again, not looking to at all, really, I have almost no interest anymore in sort of, like, talking about Bean's performance, if you will.
The hows and the whys and what happened there.
Just,
yeah,
like, right. what he was thinking or feeling. But I do think, like, from that section of yesterday's show and others, you know, later on we heard from a guy who's like, more and more of these people are showing up, at least in my space, which is, are we sure we're supposed to be, it's right to be upset here, like, with the success they've had? And the guy yesterday was like, I can remember Buddy Nix. We should be grateful. Is it better? If the word isn't better, we'll fix it. Is it better to be grateful about the Bills of the last, say, 5 years, or pissed?
Oh, Boy, I like this question. My feelings on that would be grateful, like 9 out of 10 times grateful. Pissed, I don't know about pissed, disappointed, frustrated. I guess I can, that those things can rise to the level of anger. But for me, I think it sounds this way. Like, I can be angry in a moment, but mostly I'm maybe too grateful for this job, as it pertains to them. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, in this job, feeling like, no, this is great. What's wrong with you guys? Why are you always complaining? I think if I didn't have this job, I don't think I would be mad ever about them. I think it's just been great. Like, I think about people out there, and I'm glad they're engaged with us and they ride with us, you know, some of them, or they get mad at us when they don't agree with it, whatever it is. I'm grateful for that companionship, for that relationship, but I rarely feel any long-term anger. If I do, 2 years ago after the Eagles game, I'm like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. McDermott with the timeouts and the just, oh my gosh, this has to stop. I don't want to do it anymore. I think that was a 4:30 game. So by 9 o'clock that night, we're done. And I felt horrible.
Yeah.
That I had flipped that hard.
Because they lost maybe 37-34 overtime game on the road to a really good team.
Right.
That went to 11-1 maybe by winning that game.
Right.
See, that's a great example.
Yeah.
Should you be pissed or should you be, wow, amazed, impressed, this is really fun.
Yeah.
Too bad, oh well.
Yeah.
I can't settle for grateful mostly because it still remains about a championship. And I don't apologize for that. That's how the players talk. I mean, that's how forever, that's who I've learned from, is listening to Bills players in the 90s. It's about the ring, you know? And yeah, I had a great time and we were great, so many great games and memories, but it's always about the ring. And there are times, I guess, when I feel like, say, take the Bills and the Sabres right now. The Bills, you know, you feel something. It's maddening, these Kansas City games and these close calls. It's maddening because you really know that they're good enough to do it, but they just didn't. Against the same team every time makes it almost more annoying. Whereas with the Sabres, the playoffs are going on right now. I feel nothing. I don't hate anybody. I don't care who wins. I don't care about it at all. Like, it's all so long ago. Players in the playoffs now, probably their dads were on teams I cared about, you know? And,
oh, yeah.
And now, just like, whatever. And so that's not better, but it is in certain ways. Like, you're not losing sleep over it this way.
I think Jackson Blake on Carolina is Jason Blake's son.
Okay, well, we could probably run a list. I mean, maybe. Kachuk.
I got to Google that, but I think there are a bunch of kids that age that have shown up. I recognize a lot of last names and dads from when Owen was climbing the ranks. Like, that age group, like, my kid's 23 now. That's an age where guys show up in the NHL. And there were, like, all Doan and Draper and, like, all these guys that you knew from, you know, the 90s or early 2000s. And here are their kids all playing. Anyway.
Tyler Myers, although I don't think his team is in the playoffs, he's actually Tyler Myers' son. That's how long it's been. No, it's just like,
yeah,
the Bills thing versus the Sabres thing, they are pretty much polar opposites. And I don't know, is one better? You know, people will ask once in a while, we've had these calls or just in bar conversations, would you rather lose by 1 point in the Super Bowl,
yeah,
like the Bills have done, or just win 3 games?
There was a day here, you're tripping some wires for me, where, I know it was in my attic. I don't remember the year. Sometime after 13 seconds. And you were away, and I was working, and maybe Zach had just started on the show with us here, who's still with us now. And I remember, because I had heard from a friend of mine that was really hot about McDermott, and I kind of couldn't believe it. that it was like that it's time already. I'm talking about 4 years ago now, right? And so, you know, one of these days where you're by yourself and like, you know, think, what do I want to do? And I
you let something like that go,
yeah,
right? Just sort of
yeah,
you play with it.
Yeah, I looked at what felt worse, the playoff drought for the Bills. Leave the Sabres over there for now. But there's definitely similarities now. How I feel about the Sabres right now is very much how I felt like the Bills in the drought. Like, what hurts more? The drought or losing? Like, what's a worse existence? Losing these close playoff games or not even being in it? And it really is such an exercise in how different we can be. Even fans who we want the same thing. But our emotions, I couldn't believe how many people said the drought was better than losing a game like 13 seconds. Like, I could not believe, it is so the way I'm wired, that I have a hard time really grasping that. And I remember one person in particular said, it was horrible. I didn't even, this is way worse. I didn't even care about them back then when they were in the drought. I'm like, and that's not worse? Than feeling the pain of losing a game where you could have gone to the, you know, I just can't grasp that.
I think that's me.
That just is incredible to
because
me.
What I, like, with the Sabres, you know, I don't want to leave, like, make it about working here, but it has had an effect on me in terms of my performance here. Like, how, anyway, like, regardless of all that, they're not, like, important to me right now. Because it's just been too long since they've been competitive. So, all right, whatever.
Like, right.
I catch myself making mistakes about who's on the team and mm-hmm. different things. And I think the next question is, well, how much of a void in your life, if that's the word, does that create? And for me, it's like none. I'm sure there are other things I'm interested in instead mm-hmm. now that I don't this is really up to the individual. I don't very often even really think about it. I don't think about like, oh, wow. In here I will. You know, you'll say like, oh, the weather's changing. Wouldn't it be great? The playoffs. Right. Like just different things about, but it's like, oh, it's way over there for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's my kids or fantasy football or my dog, I mean, just something else is in the space. And I don't sit around moping about the Sabres drought. And I think the Bills would have been the same thing. And this lifelong quest for them to win a title, now they're close, and there are, you know, micro level things mm-hmm. that you can maybe think need to be different for it to happen. And like, that's way more intense, which I think for me, that's good. That makes it better.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's more intense. And so I end up feeling more frustrated than grateful, which, you know, is not where you want to end up in life. But that's how I am about all this.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Like I also don't want to make it about our relationship with the teams, but something that is very different about the two organizations, the two sports, the two leagues, and how much focus there is on them. To me, like it is the Sabres are much easier for me to do what you're doing. Emotionally, anyways, like I still, in some sort of maybe even a, some perfunctory manner, go through. I'm there. I'm going to watch the games. I love the sport, and they're on, and so I'm going to watch it. But it, I'm detached in a way that even the show allows us to be more. Whereas the Bills, the NFL, football itself is so big. That even while the Bills are mired in a 17-season drought, we're talking every day in the offseason about what they're going to do and how they're going to get out of it. And the Sabres, in the midst of this, I'm not saying they don't have their days, but it's a lot easier for me to just sort of leave them over there. They're over there. And that emotionally, they're not reaching me. I'm not... You know, I watch games every night. I'm watching the playoffs. I'm still dialed in on that. Buchergras last night on the Leafs Senators game at some point made reference to the interminable suffering of the Leafs fans because they're about to drop to 1-13 or they were 1-12 in these elimination opportunities to advance games. And I'm like, dude, you don't know from interminable suffering. Like, I'm watching this game from Buffalo, New York, and like, I would trade places with any Leaf fan. Now, I know, easy for me to say. You get in that spot, and it's year 7 or 8 with the core group and whatever, and you're still, it is maybe a little bit like the Bills. Like, they haven't gotten there. They've changed out. It's not McDermott the whole time, right? It's been different guys. But the core group is the same, and they can't seem to get over it, and that's misery. But well, they're in the playoffs.
I wouldn't describe it as misery, but it makes sense to me. There's a word for it. Whatever the word is, there's one for it.
Yeah.
For what the Leafs or the Bills, like what the suffering, no. What the existence is you are a loser in the eyes of, you know, the world, kinda. Like, whether it's Kansas City or, you know, the Super Bowls in the 90s, everybody can appreciate the success you needed to get there. But we remember the champions, we remember the teams they beat if it's the same team every year. Like, that's just how cruel the thing is. So it's like that reality, the Bills reality, which is, you know, you're going to range from, if you're not like a fan, you're going to range from thinking, oh, you're going to be sympathetic to feeling like you want to mock them because they've just lost that game every time. With, you know, yesterday with the Saints, who are the teams in the league? What is the one team? Isn't there another team in New York? Isn't there one team that actually plays in New York? Like that when in the middle of the Brady run, they were just irrelevant. And I don't know, like, people would be both things. They'd be more the type to sympathize with, you know, the drought years teams and like, man, like I think the Sabres have this now to real hockey people, whether they're in the media or just fans in other places, like, can they just ever, that was a really great vibe when Buffalo was good. Can't Buffalo just be good, you know, and like mm-hmm. sort of get there? You kind of want it, maybe. And the Bills would have been the same thing. The crowds, the stadium, the tradition, the unique flavor, if you will, of games there. You know, you can be that way. Or you can just sort of like how I am, say, about baseball or something, or any sport, where it's like, if you're not good, I just don't care about you. I'm here for the good teams. I'm here for the storylines and, you know, the championships. Can a team repeat? Can a team win its first? Can a quarterback? All that stuff. And so that makes me, you know, it's not exactly on point from where we were, but that makes me more like amped up for and even mad about mm-hmm. the Bills
yeah.
than I would have been in 2010. 2010, they're an eye roll. The owner's ancient, you know, they're talking about moving. They're hiring, they're like the Sabres, hiring Buddy Nix. Like, who's that? That's the Sabres GMs are. Was this person in the profession before they made them the general manager? Like, who is this person? It was never somebody, like, really credible. We go to the Super Bowl, and the Bills hire Geron, and we've got Chicago guys coming up to us to apologize. And he was the coach of the year.
Right.
In the league once.
The year before
sorry,
he got
guys.
Fired. Yeah, right.
Sorry, guys. This is not going to go well. Like, that's
yeah.
That's not more fun. Because that's depressing. Those interactions with people yeah. in other markets
well,
are depressing.
Right. It doesn't hurt like a bitter loss that you think you should have won hurts. Like there is, it's a different kind of, that's almost, it gets to be painless. You get to, you end up being numb. And look, man, I don't want to like start quoting Johnny Resnick here, but it's good to bleed. It's good to know you're alive. So when the Bills aren't any good, or like I am right now with the Sabres, you can't hurt me, and that sucks. Because it's sports. Like at the end, however brokenhearted I might be, I'm not 7 years old, or even, you know, 25 with my head in my hands after Super Bowl 25, sitting in front of my TV, like just inconsolable. You know, I'm older. I think I've got my priorities reasonably in line with who I want to be and how I want to live my life and how I've lived it to this point. The losses sting, but bottom line for me, as long as you're credibly close to winning, like your contender status, I'm good. With generally, I'm good. Yes, I'm gonna uncover this and talk about this, and I think you should try this, and like, of course, try to get it all the way there. But generally, grateful is what I am for the Bills right now. I mean, man, when they took off. I don't know how many people feel this.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
But like for me professionally, if Josh Allen would have missed, I don't know, man. Like this has almost never been more fun than it's been since he took off and they took off with them, with him. If that hadn't happened and we were still wandering around looking for a guy, man, I don't know. It'd be hard. I'm trying to say it would be hard for me to keep coming and sitting in this chair with you. I really needed it. It was emotionally just taking everything out of me that I didn't care about them.
Right,
it felt too much of a put on to me to come in here and talk about them passionately because they were bad for so long. It just was like, what am I even doing here? Right. I feel like a wind up toy.
Right now, like take the Steelers or the Browns, you know, proud franchises, proud fan bases, and you look around the AFC, and we're arguing about Mason Rudolph or Will Howard or Aaron Rodgers, late stage Aaron Rodgers, or Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco or Shedeur Sanders, wouldn't you kind of want to just be like, can we just not? Like, what's the point? what's our ceiling? What are we hoping for? A wild card? I mean, in that case, the Browns and the Steelers would be different conversations, but still, like, it seems maybe unattainable. It felt that way, I think, mostly for the Bills in those years, because of Brady, but also because of themselves.
Yes.
Just like, this is not a serious organization. And the Sabres are not a serious organization. They're just not. Nobody goes this long without making a big change. It's ridiculous. So then what? You want to talk about who they should draft or sign or trade for? Or who cares? Like, it's just not, mm-hmm. I don't want to say who cares because people do care, but it doesn't get me anywhere. And in the Bills' case, I think, you know, that was really more just for work. Like, all right, let's just pick somebody. Let's just talk about it. But it's not going to matter. And it didn't until really Brady was out of the way. And then, you know, that timed nicely. That fit nicely. Allen's arrival and you know, rocket-like ascent to the top of the league. And then Brady's departure lined up. Well, that's one angle that this Brandon Bean stuff has brought on is because yesterday there was more pushback against it than there was on Monday. Monday on this show was more like, what's up with this guy? What does he have the right to say all that? Like, where does he get that? Why would he feel this way? That kind of stuff. Yesterday we heard from more people who were like, what's our problem? What are we mad at? They need a defense. They drafted it. They're good. It makes sense. What's the point? 803-0550. Is it better to be grateful or pissed or something else? Can you be both? I feel like both are reasonable. So maybe we're all both, just to different degrees. Let's find out. Chris Trapasso coming on today, Wednesday, 4 o'clock, to talk about the draft and sort of put a bow on our conversations with him, how the Bills did, how the draft went overall. Lines are open for you, 803-0550. Thanks for listening. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I like the players that they drafted a lot, and he is correct in saying they had to add to the defense. They just paid a couple of players there, Greg Rousseau, Christian Benford. So you're going to have to find value at high value expensive positions, defensive line, corner. I love them adding the players that they did there. I also like this receiving group, but I do kind of wish they added speed. And that's not just about the draft, frankly. That's about free agency as well. I think they've got size. They've got guys who are fantastic working out of the slot. And they added Palmer, who's a great possession receiver. I just would have loved a deep threat.
Mina Kimes on the Bills. A lot of talk about the wide receiver group the last couple of days or years. I think before we get to your calls, the pushback from those who think the Bills are short at wide receiver in terms of this draft that just ended is about round four. As we've had to point out a couple of times here lately, you're not exactly hearing they should have picked one at 30 or even necessarily day two, although that would have been less expensive, of course. And, you know, there's that. But I think it's like Royals to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the fourth round. And in fairness to the Bills, and this is kind of what Brandon Bean has said, who was I supposed to think comes in over the top of somebody we have that's picked on Saturday? And like you've said, well, you don't know. You can't have it happen if you don't pick somebody. You have to try. But I think really, in terms of the draft, I don't know who in free agency the Bills were supposed to have wanted, to the Mina Kimes comments. But, you know, Royals, somebody like that, there were guys there that, you know, would have had potential. And instead the Bills went back to defensive line and then back to the secondary and then again back to the secondary as Saturday played out.
That's why I think the question that I think still may have been responsible for setting the whole thing off, if that's even right, how do you prioritize it? Do you think you prioritize it in line with the rest of the league? And if not, you know, explain. Like, why not? Because you know, we watched them. They obviously prioritized TJ Sanders. I mean, they moved way up in round two to make that happen. That was a priority, a position of need. And look, I'm not arguing that even outweighs whatever priority they would have had on receiver. But when you don't make a move to get a guy, you don't prioritize him, then you're not going to move up ahead of a team that's going to pick the guy that you think might have best fit you because you're not prioritizing it. It's not something you're waiting for it to just come to you. And, like, that's fine. I'm all for letting the draft come to you. But when you have a reputation for moving way up to make moves to get a guy like they did this year in the second round, then you're telling on yourself. You're telling me you prioritize that. And again, I don't have a second round guy in mind for this point that they should have done that instead of TJ Sanders. But a similar move to get a guy on Saturday, I think was fair to want. And if they had prioritized it more, maybe it would have happened. But it didn't. So I don't know. Maybe there were no prospects left at all that they liked enough to want to do that. That seems hard to imagine with how many guys that, you know, were available. But still, I think the prioritizing it is a big question that I think is fair to ask now.
Here's Patrick with us. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. I remember on when we broke the drought on New Year's Eve, I went to a party that night, and one of my friends who's an avid Bills fan, he was a little bit less pumped up than the rest of us, and I remember pressing on him on it a little bit. And he sort of said something like, yeah, this is really cool, but, like, I want to win a Super Bowl. You know, and I remember at the time kind of saying, like, are you crazy? Like, you can't say that. You know, we don't do that, you know. And so fast forward 8 years and, you know, kind of looking back on that and thinking of that sort of learned, you know, lack of ambition as a Bills fan, like that just seemed like such a preposterous thing to say. And when you talk to sort of like Bean and McDermott apologists now, you know, the subtext and sometimes, you know, directly, it just comes out as like, well, do you want things to go back to the way they were? And so I think when someone's argument sort of boils down to that over the merits of somebody's job that they're doing is like, it could be worse. It's like, yeah, I totally appreciate how much better things are now. They absolutely are. And this sort of suffering, as you guys spoke about, is definitely less painful than the suffering we endured during the drought. But with that said, like, you've got, you know, Allen is going to end up being a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. And it's like, so, you know, like when Bean called into Jeremy and he pulled that flex, which was funny, by the way, because it really wasn't analogous to anything Jeremy was saying. It was like kind of a non sequitur. But he pulls this flex out about Allen, and it's like, yes, great, great intuition. Thank you for being right about that. And, like, go win a Super Bowl. Right. So life is full right. of these contradictions. Like, I'm totally grateful for this iteration for the Bills, and I'm not satisfied. And I think that's okay. So, you know, and the last thing I'll just say really quickly is I feel like part of this Beam thing is, well, first of all, thank you for breaking up this dead period of the NFL season with this call. But also I want to blame a little bit the Sabres because, you know, part of this receiver discussion is like, we can't talk about the Sabres all year because they stink. So we're having the 15th conversation about our receiver room, and so I want to blame the Sabres a little bit. Thank you.
Entirely, entirely fair. I think to do that.
Can we just blame it all on the Sabres?
I think that's right. We strive to be talking about what you want to be talking about or hearing about, and my sense a lot of the time this year has been that is not the Sabres. It is not a scientific conclusion that I've drawn, but just sitting here for all these years, it often feels that way to me. So I hear you. Good job, because I am overall grateful, but yeah, I'm not satisfied. I want to see that championship too. You know, selfishly, I want it to happen while I'm still doing this. I want it to happen while my parents are still alive and they're in their 90s. Like, the clock is always ticking to me. So, like, I very good job sort of capturing how I feel by the caller, I would say.
It's almost like life itself. I mean, if you've been going to all these games, you're a season ticket holder all these years, and like the last 5 years, you know what the Bills' record at home is in the last 5 years? 35-7. 35-7. You've gone out there 42 times. Some of those games are like your big favorite. Some of those games are, this is really good. 35-7. And just like they tell you when you have kids, about savoring every moment, because then soon they'll be gone before you realize it. If you're somebody who you can only do so much, but if you can really be in the present and not fixate on how it ends, which is not me, because I do that about everything. I'm always fixated on how it ends and don't always appreciate the moment I'm in. If you're somebody that's different than me that can do that, 35-7. What would you have taken?
That's pretty incredible.
5 years ago for their home record, you know, a little bit over 500. Win more than you lose, I guess. So I can feel like, you know, I'm getting what I want out of this. Yeah. And can't win them all. 35-7, all those drives home, all those games, and then those drives home, and then the next day at work are just like, this is the best. You're happy in those days. And if you go to games and it is like week to week for you, then the opposite would just make it all the more miserable than just shunning it, which is what people, and I've kind of done this with the Sabres myself, is just sort of block it out. I'm not going to go to games because going to games makes me angry and makes me feel stupid because I'm spending so much money on this and I just am not enjoying it at all. I've got no chance of winning. I don't believe the organization is serious about winning. So why am I doing it? And well, you know, in my case, I chose to stop. So none of that feels good. But it's worse if you go and you live it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have all these negative feelings, you know, than somebody who just can sort of not watch. I'm not going to bother because I feel like that, you know, feels better or at least less bad. So that's all. It's all obvious, I guess. It's all self-evident. If you're experiencing it week to week, year to year, then yes, not only are the endings very disappointing, but we sit with them and talk about them for the next 8 months, if not past that. 13 seconds is forever, I think. But how the season ended is much more of how we spend our time than what happened in the middle. We don't talk about the Detroit game very often.
Right.
I don't think we talked about the Detroit game after the day after it happened.
That's right. We're on to the next one, and yeah.
And how many games back am I?
Right.
And what seed am I? And who am I playing? And all of that. Lots of different ways to consume sports, you know? I think the healthiest is probably not this way.
As invested as as you feel.
Yeah. And you're just always talking about the ending and how you have a team this good and what's wrong with it. It's probably not the healthiest way.
Yeah.
You know, those fans in the on the West Coast that are always described as being more aloof about sports, just more casual. That seems maybe
that might be the way.
Better.
That might be the way. Yeah.
Do we think so? Can we say yeah. that? Do we like how we do it? Do we do it the way we do it because we want to do it this way? Or it's just because that's sort of the life we're born into and it's people around us.
I mean that it's gonna be so different for every person. I just feel like in my life I need things to pour myself into. Emotionally, intellectually, creatively, whatever it is. And the sport, the Bills and the Sabres touch, I mean, creatively, I guess this qualifies as that for me. Like doing this, shaping these shows and talking with you every day, there is a creative element to that. And I need the emotional outlet. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to be, I'm about as casual as I think I want to be about it. Because I do not, watching games versus how I end up reacting to them are two very different exercises. I am not, unless it's the very end, I mean, and by the very end, I mean the end of the season is looming, right? So elimination game time, right? Tyler Bass field goal, 13 seconds, like these bitter endings for us. I might be up and pacing for that. But the game is going on. I'm mostly just sitting, taking it in. I don't need to act out on social media about things that are happening. If anything pisses me off during a game, like while in the second quarter of a game, it's usually a commercial or a promotion or something that is ancillary to the actual, competition. And I don't think I'd want to function at any more casual a level than that, I think. For
good.
Myself.
You should do it the way you want to be doing it. Chris Trapasso coming up in 20 minutes. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. A final chat with Chris Trapasso on the 2025 NFL Draft coming up today at 4, so in just a few minutes. Cooler but sunny today, perfectly fine. I went with the shorts. You can't get me back. Once we get to like the last couple of days into the 70s, I'm wearing shorts. I'm not going back. Like, it's the Ross Tucker principle. Jackets, right?
Yeah.
Gloves, things like that.
Yeah.
How long are you actually going to be outside? From your, if you're lucky, you leave your house, you have a car, you get in your car, you get to work, you get it out of your car, you get in the, is that even a minute outside?
No.
Well, who needs pants, right? If it's that way, who really needs pants? I say it.
Depends on your footwear. I got some new shoes, and I don't feel very confident in how they're going to look with shorts. So I'm breaking them in. They need break in, and so I need to wear pants.
No socks today with these.
So
sneakers.
I had to. So I'm jeans in it here for a bit till I get these shoes broken in.
All right, there you go, everybody. Eddie is next. Hello.
You guys are all over the place. I'm going to try my best. But until it's cool enough for flip-flops, then shoes and shorts become, I don't know. So it's an interesting look. But, in regards to what you guys were talking about earlier, I love that topic of how to view sports. Because as a young man, I'll tell you, it was just so powerful that it was almost like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? And as you get older, as, Bulldog was saying, I'm definitely in the camp of more grateful, but I don't mind getting upset when they make decisions that I think could put us over the top when you're this close. And that's why I brought up the Maple Leafs. And, of course, Bulldog steals my thunder because I got my tickets for both hip shows this weekend at the Cavs. And I love hockey. So hockey, I think, and that's part of the issue, I think, too, in sports is I like hockey so much that I'll just watch hockey, whereas I'll find a team, I enjoy the way they play, I'll become a fan, and then I'll enjoy it. But I always want the Sabres to be there. But without liking hockey as a base, I don't think I would be as involved in it. But in regards to who would you rather be, I definitely would rather have been the Maple Leafs over the past 8 years. I mean, I think they've had more talent than the Bills have had and more opportunities. And I think they might have even lost more times in more painful fashion than the Bills. I think they were up three in a game seven. Multiple
In Boston, for sure, that happened.
Boston, yeah. Right? Like I think we forget that. What I love about sports is the fact that you have no idea, man. I mean, no matter how many years I've watched, you know, new things will happen. And, yes, have we been on the painful side? But like life, if we only think about the finality of it, then we lose the journey. And I know that's philosophical, but I don't know. When we talk about football, we used to get mad at people talking about war in the trenches. And we're like, it ain't war, dude. Come on. And when something horrible happens in sports, it's so hard to let it rise above what real life can do to people. And the joy it's brought to the community alone, let alone, I know the goal is to win the championship, and I want one desperately. But I'll take the joy that we have right now, you know, and yeah, I want one, but I do fall on the more grateful side. But okay. In regards to one comment, I didn't get to comment anything about Bean, but I just found it to be kind of, I mean, I'm mostly the fan side, so I'm usually all about, like, whatever they say, but I found that to be rather, I was put off by it. Like, I just felt it was uninformed. Like, I didn't feel it was on point at all. And that, to me, was a little more disturbing than whatever the real point about, you know, what the debate was.
Thank gotcha.
You.
Okay. All right, Eddie. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough line because I don't want to represent that I'm fine never winning a championship. I want it too, but I think this probably comes with aging too. Because I know you know, there's different life things that come along that change your perspective, but generally speaking, I'm less hateful of the fans of the teams that win than I used to be. And I think, you know, that is something that I think when I was 25 or 30 years old or just starting out in this with you 25 years ago or 20 years ago, I don't think I really had a grasp of that. But now it's more like, I sure hope I get my turn, and I just don't feel the energy to waste being mad or making fun of a Leaf fan that's crying in their blankie, you know, in Maple Leaf Square or whatever. Like, I don't know. That doesn't do anything for me anymore. I'm more sort of like, I'd like to see you get one. You know, like, not necessarily ahead of me, but, you know, you're closer. Go do it. You know, I think for hockey purposes, Toronto going on a run would be incredible. And I know that's anti everything that we're supposed to stand for as Sabres fans, because they're are supposed to be our biggest rival. But it's also a function of how far away my team is. You know, if you winning isn't really in the way of me winning, which it absolutely is not right now. The Sabres are not in the same, they're not even barely playing the same sport. They're not competing for the same things as Toronto. We just want to, we would gladly take 2017 out of the Sabres. Like, there's no talk about winning the Stanley Cup anymore. It's just ending a playoff drought, which the Bills finally did do in McDermott's first year here. You know, go win. Like, if your fans have been long suffering and you've lived your whole adult life without ever seeing it, I don't know, man. That the emotion of that I can sense from those fans completely blows the rivalry stuff out of the water for me now. And I think that is aging, is what that is.
Chris Trapasso next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.